Has somebody ever done something to hurt you? And in order to win you back, they say that they're sorry. And that in spite of how good those words sound, you know that they don't mean it. Amen? You could tell it by the tone of their voice. You could tell it by the look in their eyes. And you could see that they're really not sorry. And we become masters of this. We become masters of that, you know, by the time we're little kids. Even, you know, like, I know we first words, mom, dad, eat. Just not too long after that is, I sorry, right? You're getting ready to get disciplined. You say, I sorry, so you don't get hurt. Amen? So we've been sorry for a long time. Amen? Sometimes, you know, the apology that somebody gives us, it hurts us worse than it did the first time. It hurts us worse than what they did. So if you ever been hurt by somebody and they said, I apologize to you, raise your hand. I should see every hand in here raised. But can you imagine how God feels when we do that to him? Can you imagine we keep doing things and we keep saying, God, you know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. And he knows we really don't mean it. Because he's not listening to those words, but he's looking at our hearts. So back in the book of Hosea, God was getting ready to discipline these people, and he used the prophet to let him know what he was going to do. And the people came back to him with some fake, I'm sorry. So if you turn to Hosea, it's the sixth chapter, and if you go from verses 1 to 3, I want you to hear these words. They said, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Now, these people have been cutting up. They have been cutting up. And this is a situation where, you know, sometimes in the Bible they say, and when they came to themselves, these people came to themselves and they offered up this prayer. They offered up these statements to the Lord. And basically, this is what they wanted the Lord to do. They're saying, in 3 days, he's going to restore us. Amen. He's gonna forget about the things that we did. But lo and behold, you see, that's Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he didn't forget so easily the things that people did. He dished out punishment. Amen? So he turns around to them and he says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto you? O Judah, what shall I do unto you? For your goodness is as a morning cloud. As the early dew, it goes away. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody said to you, okay, now what punishment do you want? You know that you did something wrong. Now what punishment do you want? So he turns around, God is turning around to these cities, and he's saying, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle you? He says, you know, you're like the morning cloud. You're here, and then all of a sudden, you go away. Sometimes that's our faith and our belief and our stance with God. We're here in the morning, But by the afternoon, we're going away. God wants us to have a substantial and a sustaining faith with him. Amen? In the scripture, he says, therefore, I will cut you in pieces with my prophets. I will kill you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flash like lightning upon you. You see, these people really didn't have a good understanding of God. Their understanding of God and the law was quite flawed. Amen? And I think that sometimes our understanding of who it is that we serve is flawed. We have a deficit in understanding truly who he is. Amen? Now, Moses had already given these people what they needed to do. Because if we go to Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 to 14, this is what Moses said to them. And he had told them about their future, life and death. He told them about blessings and curses according to what they did or what they did not do to keep God's commandments. Moses wrote it this way. He said, and it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn and your wine and your oil. You see, Moses has already given the children of Israel the script. In the script, he says, listen to my commands, which I command you. But he didn't just say listen. He said, listen diligently. There's a way to listen. Sometimes we listen, but we don't hear. But he said, listen diligently. So when you listen diligently, not only do you listen, but you hear and you understand. Amen? So Moses says, on this day, love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul. These people had already not served the Lord with all their heart and their soul. And that's what's going on in the world today. We wonder why we don't get blessings because God hears your words, but they're just bouncing off the ceiling. Amen? Because he knows when he looks down at the person calling him, he's looking straight down to your heart. And he don't see your heart serving him the way that it should be serving him. It doesn't see your heart serving him the way that he requires you to serve him. Amen? But these people knew the word. The devil knows the word. And even people that have backslid, they know the word. And when the person knows the word, they like to call you on it. Have you ever been in a situation you're witnessing or you're saying something to somebody, and that person you're witnessing to, they're quoting scripture back to you? They're quoting it back to you because the devil knows the word. Now, these people were living in fornication. They were lying, they were stealing, they were cussing. But listen to what they say to the Lord. He has torn us, but he will heal us. There was a reason why God tore them. But they're telling the Lord, you did it, now you're going to heal us. They're telling God what he's going to do. And they're doing with a degree of confidence. Amen? He has torn us, but he's going to heal us. And after 2 days, he's going to revive us. And on the third day, he's going to lift us up. These people have no idea what they're talking about. But in the same time, they were prophesying and didn't even know that they were prophesying. I'll get to that later on. In the book of Isaiah, it says, let us return to him, for he has torn, he has smitten. So God always has had a way to tear us apart. He always has a way to rebuke us. He says, we have been torn, and it was he that tore us. We have been smitten, and it was he that smote us. Therefore, let us return to him, because it is for our revolts from him that he has torn and smitten us in anger. When God did those things in the Old Testament, he did them in anger. But God didn't just do things in anger. There was a reason why God did them. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has repeated something over and over and over and over to you, and you still don't listen? There's a difference between not listening or not getting it. There's some people that might not get something sometimes. You got to forgive them. But when people don't get it, they don't do it. They're out of they're in disobedience. There's a difference. Amen? So God knew that these people understood what he said, but they were disobedient. That's where his anger came in. Isaiah spoke about it. Moses spoke about it. And here now they had went through so many years of being disobedient, and Hosea is telling them the things that they were going to go through. But when God is telling people what they're going to go through, they were ignoring what the prophet is saying. They're still pleading their case. There comes a time where you got to stop pleading your case. We think that we always have the opportunity to keep pleading and pleading and pleading. But there comes a time in life where we can't plead this case no longer, because there's no longer an excuse for the things that we're being disobedient to. Amen? I think they have a place for people who do things like that. It's called jail. In the scripture, the Lord says, especially through his word, it says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says that in scripture because it is known that our people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So not only does the Lord want you to praise him, but he wants you to seek him, and he wants you to gain more knowledge of who and what he is. How many times have we been in situations where we didn't have full knowledge of what it is that we were dealing with? And when that happens, trouble happens. Sometimes good things happen. A lot of times bad things happen. But God wants us to understand that if we have knowledge of him, we have better fellowship with him. Because to know him is to love him. You can't love something that you don't know. You could take a little doggy that somebody will bring to you, and if you don't know the dog, you're not going to love him. And you could sit around and say, I don't like dogs. But if that dog is around you long enough, you might find yourself petting the dog a little bit. You might find yourself giving him a scrap from the table. And all of a sudden, the dog is following you around everywhere you go. And then you might have a time where you're feeling a little bad, and the dog will jump up on you or come next to you and give you a little peace and comfort. And before you know, you're having a conversation with the dog. You see, to know is love. But when you don't know, you can't love. And God says, I need you to know me so you can love me. I've already demonstrated my love for you. I've done things out of the ordinary, extraordinary for you. But to know me is to love me. Amen? These people were so certain that God was going to do something in their favor. We run around and we keep saying, well, God's going to do things in my favor. But what are you doing to get God to do things in your favor? This is a give and take thing here. There's no more that you can give that he hasn't already given. We're a lot of good takers, but we ain't a lot of good givers. But let me go further down the road with what happened to these people. God brought death and destruction to these people. Amen? They deserved what they got because he was an angry God. But that was in the Old Testament. But he turned it around because I'm saying God heard them. Things were being prophesied because when he sent his son, it was the same 3 days. When God sent his son, it was his gift through faith in Christ that God did do what they were asking him to do. But God's got his own sense of timing. It wasn't in the Old Testament that he did it, but it was in the New Testament that he did it. Amen? Because Jesus, his son, came down from heaven to be what they wanted him to be. It says in Romans that he was delivered over death for our sins and was raised over to our life for our justification. Even Jesus himself predicted his death. He says in Mark 8:31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and again after 3 days rise again. Amen? So when we go back to what these people, the Israelites, wanted, they said after 2 days he will revive us. And on the third day he's going to raise us. No, on the third day he raised himself. And once he raised himself, we are raised for those who believe in Christ. Amen? So God did hear the cry, but it wasn't time for that yet. God does anything, all things in his own time. Amen? So now, when we believe in what Christ will do for us, amen? There's 7 things that I want you to know that God does for us when we're in a battle. Because each and every one of us is in a battle. Minister, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're trying to do some things, and the devil got you in a battle. Now, I want us to understand exactly what a battle is. If you're in here today, you're in a battle. A battle is not a fight. A battle is not a fight. Now you're looking at me. A battle consists of several fights. So that means when you fight the enemy, there's another fight coming. Because you're in a battle. A battle is a series of fights. You keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And you fight on different fronts. Sometimes the battle's in front of you. Sometimes it's to the side of you. Sometimes it's behind you. So when the scripture says that we're in a battle, understand it's not just one fight. Understand it ain't one thing and it's over. It ain't one and done. And the enemy never, ever is going to give up fighting you. But see, when you get knowledge of the Lord and you get knowledge of God, and that's what he's telling us to do, he'll tell you things that he'll do in the battle. Amen? Sometimes you got to have a little something to hold on to. Amen? The first thing that he says in a battle is, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Amen? This is God speaking. 385 times the word fear is mentioned in the King James Version. 62 times in the Bible, he says, fear not. There's a fear not for every day of the year. Every day of the year, there's a fear not. There's only 365 days, but there's 385 fear nots in the Bible. You can wake up in the morning and just say, fear not. There's a fear not for every day. There's a fear not for every hour. There's a fear not for every minute. There's a fear not for every second. Fear not. In the midst of the battle, whatever it is that you're going through, just fear not. Amen? Fear will never change your circumstances. People, the devil want fear. They want to invoke fear into you. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up there and have that stare down with the devil. Don't you see these fighters and these boxers, before they get ready to fight, they're trying to evoke fear in the opponent. And they stand there and they look at one another and they won't blink an eye. Don't blink an eye at the devil. Fear not. When you have fear, your faith is contaminated. When you have fear, when the enemy poses fear in you, your faith is contaminated. It's a little tainted. Something's going on. It's not right. But I want you to know also, if you have fear, you can't conquer the enemy. He sees the fear in your faith. He sees the fear in your eyes. He hears the fear in your speech. He sees all of that. God says, fear not. In your battle, I am there with you. God speaks to his children over and over and over again in the word. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and then help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who raise against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Have you ever had somebody do something to you, and by the time God worked it out and showed you up and pulled you through, that person was a little bit embarrassed? That there was an apology on their lip? That they wanted to know the God that you serve. They wanted to know where that your power and your strength came from. God says, all who rage against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Do you understand what those words mean? Every day when you wake up and you say, fear not, and you put on the full armor of God, and you go out that door, or you go through your house, whatever the situation, whatever battle you're going through, do you understand the power that's in those words? Though you search for your enemies, you won't find them. When you got on the full armor of God, you're waiting for them. You're looking for them. But the devil knows when you got the full armor on. He's going to disappear. Or the bully is not going to show up. He's going to be gone somewhere. The scripture further says, those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. Here it comes. He says, for I am your Lord, the God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. He takes your hand. He don't take your left hand. You ever see somebody shake your hand and they give you your left hand? You don't want the left hand. You want that right hand of fellowship. Amen? Somebody want to give you, they're going to shake your hand with the left hand and the right hand is free? Don't shake it. You want that right hand of fellowship. God says in his word, he reaches out to your right hand with his right hand of fellowship. When Peter reached down to the beggar, the scripture will tell you he reached down with his right hand of fellowship. God says, I will reach you with your right hand of fellowship. Amen? Another thing that he gives you in the battle, he says, do not be dismayed. All of the odds are against you, it seems like. Everything is looking bleak. It don't look like you can't climb that mountain. It don't look like you can get around it. It don't look like you can go under it or through it. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed because I am God. There's no mountain that I can't move. There's no valley that you can't cross. I am God. Do not be dismayed. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear not, for I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am God. The other thing that he tells you in the midst of a battle that you're going through is that the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. So if the battle is not yours, what are you fighting for? Your daddy will fight for you. Your king has it all under control. He can lift his little pinky or whatever it is that he has, and millions and thousands of angels will come to your rescue. The battle is not yours, it's his. You could just say, Daddy, get him. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight and your big brother, your big sister, or your father, your mother came down to do battle for you. You walk right in front with him. And you said, there he is. Get him. You can walk right in front with your father. You can go right up to the devil and say, you know what, Dad? There he is. Get him. You don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to have fear. You don't have to fight. David knew that the battle really wasn't his. It was the Lord. Amen? The little shepherd boy said in 1 Samuel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. You're going out there as David. And there's a big, bad Goliath looking down at you. And he's saying, you don't have to use your sword. You don't have to use your shield. You don't have to use your spear. The Lord is going to take care of this. As a matter of fact, devil, the Lord is going to deliver you right here. The Bible says he's going to make the enemy our footstep. Hallelujah. Another thing that you need in the battle, it says you have to position yourself. The Bible puts it this way, set yourself. Set yourself. The Bible talks about being able to stand and to withstand. Sometimes we're ready to stand, but when you stand, you better know that you better be ready to withstand. Because he's not going to go down easy. But you got to be able to withstand. So you got to position yourself. You got to be balanced. You got to be ready to take them blows. Because he's going to swing on you. He's going to kick at you. He's going to spit at you. He's going to call you all kind of names. Close your ears to the heavens from where your help is going to come. When we position ourselves, we can take place on the front line. And when we take p- place on the front line. We're letting the devil know that here I am. Come on and get me. My daddy's here. My king is here. My father's here. My help is here. Come on here now. You can be on the offensive and not on the defensive. That's where we need to be. We need to go get the devil and stop letting him come to us. So many times he comes to us and we're on our back heels. But if we move forward, we're moving forward. We're on our front heels. Not only do you have to position yourself and set yourself, but you got to remain in your position. Hallelujah. You got to stay there. You got to stand still. Sometimes there's a fight going on. There's a battle going on, and you get a little fearful, and you run. But the Bible is telling you, stay right there. Stand still. If you leave the fight, if you leave the position, you never get to see the victory. If you leave the fight, you already know you're going to win. But if you leave the fight, you don't get to see the victory. That victory builds you up. That victory builds you up for the next fight in your battle. Because sometimes, and many times, the fight gets a little bigger. When I say bigger, the opponent is not bigger, but your emotions and your attachments and the things that are all associated with you, the things that will hurt you, that's what he's going to go after. You see, if you lose your car, it's going to hurt you. But when your loved one is sick or something goes down with one of them, it hurts you. That battle's a little bigger than your car. And the enemy knows that. But when you stand and you have a victory, you know that you're going to have another victory. And you're going to have victory after victory after victory. Because there is no fight that the devil's going to win. Stay in your position and be still so you can see, so you can taste the victory. Ephesians 6 says, and when you have done all else, stand. When you have done all else, stand. What do you do when you can't do nothing else? And it seems like all hope is lost. You just stand. Hallelujah. The other thing that God wants us to understand when we're in the midst of battle is see God work. See him work. There's nothing like a master having somebody watch them work. Hallelujah. There's nothing like a master doing his thing and somebody admiring his work. If you can make a pot and you're a master pottery person, when somebody watches you doing your thing, you're just enjoying them watching you work. Because there's confidence in your ability. And our God, he loves us to watch him work. He don't say run and go hide while I do this. He says watch me. Watch me do this. He says, watch me and see my salvation. Watch me save you. Watch me pull your children out of danger. Watch me heal you. Watch me deliver somebody. Watch me get a job for you. Watch me make your relationship work. Watch me make your marriage strong. Watch me, watch me, watch me. Watch me make some miracles happen. Just watch me. Watch me. You need to watch. You'll know. Know that I am that I am. Know that I am God. Know that I'm all over everything. Know that I have all power in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Know that I've conquered death. Know that. Know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Watch God work. Watch God work. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you're going through something right now. Oh, hallelujah. But watch him work. Won't he do it? Watch him work. Didn't he promise you? Watch him work. Watch him. Don't run. Stand still. Set yourself. Hallelujah. The master is at work. Hallelujah. The master is at work. He's at work in life. He's at work in your life. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. He's going to do it. Woo. The other thing, the seventh thing that I'm going to say today that God wants you to know in the battle is face the enemy with confidence. Because it says tomorrow, tomorrow, today, right now, when you see the enemy, know that God is with you. So you walk with confidence. You don't walk around with your head hung down. You can't see him working with your head hung down. You got to walk with confidence. Have you ever gone into some place and when you walk in there, people want to know who you are, what you did, what you're all about? Because you walked in there with confidence. Hallelujah. If you go in there like you don't belong, they're going to tell you, get out. But you walk in there with confidence, knowing that God is able to do all things exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we could ever ask, think. You walk into that hospital room, walk in there with confidence. You walk into that courtroom, walk in there with confidence. You walk into the emergency room, walk in there with confidence. Walk into the doctor's office. Walk in there with confidence. You go to that job that demon devil boss want to try to tell you you're going to get fired. You tell him, no, I'm not. Walk in there with confidence. Remember, the first one is fear not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says those things, fear not. And we know that he's not a person that will lie, right? We know that he don't have to lie. We know that. But let me tell you something else that God says. He says in Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. So when he makes those promises to you, they ain't empty. They're full of stuff. They're full of weapons. They're full of power. They're full of power. They're full of power. Because it's not coming back empty. It's coming back in a praise report. It's coming back with somebody saying, thank you, Jesus. It's coming back so you can start singing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. And then he says, I'll accomplish what I please. I'll accomplish what I please. But when you have a child of God, listen to what else he says. And it shall prosper in the thing wherever I send it. When he sends it to you, you're going to prosper. When he sends it to you, you're going to prosper. Wherever he sends it, it's going to prosper. Maybe you don't think that I should have it, but if he sends it to me, I'm going to prosper. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you do. If he sends it to me, it's going to prosper. If he sends it to you, you're going to prosper. If he sends it to you, you're going to prosper. Wherever it is, he sends it to. And there ain't nothing we could do about it. Nothing nobody can do about it. You wonder why sometimes people will get something that you don't get? God sent it to them. I don't wonder why Deacon House and Sister House got a Mercedes. God sent it to them. He gave me a Lincoln. I don't say I want a Mercedes. I'm happy with my Lincoln. But wait a minute. It ain't even got nothing to do with the Lincoln. I'm happier with my red car. I have joy unspeakable, full of glory. You ride up next to me and look, and I look at you too. Because whatever God wants for me is for me. I'm not worried about what he gave you. I'm not worried about what he sent you. I'm not worried about what you have. All I know is when he gives it to me, I'm going to prosper. That's right. Me and Sister Yvette, we got Camrys. We got Toyotas. And we happy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now. I'm going to try to bring this home. I'm going to try to bring this home right now. God is a good God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? Woo! Are you ready for this? Let me tell you what he said. He said, for the Lord, your God is the God of gods. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's a great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. He don't take bribes. When I praise him with my heart and my soul, he knows I'm giving it my all. When you praise him with all your heart and soul, he knows you're giving it your all. Just because you're louder, it don't mean you're going to benefit more. You can't bribe them because you can sing better than me. I hear some people saying, I know that's right. But you can't bribe them because you can sing better than me. If he's given me the possibility and blessed me to give my 10%, that might be 100 times more than your 10%. I'm just doing my 10%. That don't mean I'm going to get an extra blessing. Cut the foolishness. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among us, giving them food and clothing. And we are to love those who are foreigners, and for ourselves are foreigners. Because, you know, we are all aliens. We are in a place that we really don't belong. One day we're going to where we do belong. This home, this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. We don't really belong here. Hallelujah. That's why he said, this stuff here, you don't need to hold on to it. Because this ain't the real deal. This ain't really it. This is just to show you a little something, something. Hallelujah. He says, fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. Are you ready? I need you to stand up for this one. Because I need you to look at each other and I need you to repeat these words. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better look at somebody. If you don't have a partner, you better get one. You better get one, because here's the message. Here's the message. Here's the message of the day. Here's the message of the day. Here's the message of the day. It says, he is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. He is the one. He is the one that you should praise. Don't praise pastor. Don't praise man. Praise God. He is the one that you should praise. Can somebody give him some praise? Can you praise your God this morning? Do you know he's great and he's awesome and his power and all the things that he has done? You've seen it with your own eyes. You know the things that you've gone through. I don't know, but you know he pulled you out of the dirt. You know he paid your rent. You know he gave you clothes. You know he healed you. When the doctor said no, Jesus said yes. He is the one you praise. If you have a little bit of grace, I want you to know there's more for you. Hallelujah. Did you ever have happy times? There's happier times for you. Oh, hallelujah. He's the one you praise. He's the one. That's why David, the devil, could do all the things that he did. But God loved him. He said, your praise, my praise for you will always be. Right, minister? Always be. Always be on my lips. Because the devil don't want you to praise. But when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Can you just praise him this morning? Can you just give him a little something? Can you give him all that you got? Can you say, Lord, I thank you this morning. In spite of everything that's going around, I am in the middle of the storm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I am that I am. That's God. I am what I am. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they got this little thing in the world about who's who. You know, you could pay your money and get your name in a book and you could, and a little certificate that says that you who are somebody. That you who are somebody. But I'm telling you something, there's no other who's who but God.
As Barry White said, he's the first, he's the last, and he's everything. I know he was talking about God. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning.